You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl man save her. Better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. Wanna turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Much for joining us today. We are so glad that we're all together right now. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are really excited about education and inspiration, and today's guest has both. Will you please introduce yourself to us?
Sure. Kelly Berry. I'm a second-year doctoral student at Kansas State University in educational leadership.
How wonderful to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come on your podcast and have a engaging podcast today.
Yes, how wonderful. How wonderful. Well, there's so much that you are doing to help our communities. And I want to start by saying thank you to you. And I mean that. Thank you for being a friend to this show. Thank you for being a leader in education. Thank you for caring about our young people and our communities. How did you begin your journey in educational leadership?
Well, it wasn't what I planned to do. I graduated college, had my bachelor's and master's, and then as a typical graduate, had no clue what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Stuck in a place where just wasn't excited about doing anything. And I walked into a tribal college one day back in 2011. And I was there to interview for a position. And I forgot what position it was. But one of the deans caught me in the hallway and asked me, because I'd become familiar with her. She asked me, "What are you doing tonight?" I said, "Not much." And she asked me, "Do you want to teach tonight?" I said, "Teach? I'm just here to apply for a job." And she said, "Well, one of our adjuncts is not here today. We need somebody to teach." And Dawn, I can't tell you anything about that night. I can't tell you how good it went or how bad it went.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I can remember or recall is the blank stares on my students' face that night.
What a great story. I mean, that is amazing. And so,
I don't really tell it because it makes me sound like, because people that know me, they assume I've been doing this for years,
right,
and I know
right.
what I'm doing. But that first, my story puts me in a space where I had no clue what I was doing.
Well, most of my stories put me in that exact same space. You know, I think that's how destiny works sometimes, is that we just have to be willing. We have to bring our gifts and talents and then allow our faithful creator to put us in the right place at the right time. We have to say yes, and that's what you did. You said yes, and it opened up a whole world for you and for all the students that benefit from you. So, help us out, because there's a lot of talk about this, right? Education is in the news. People are talking about what we should teach and not teach and curriculum, and it's a big deal. So what is educational leadership?
To me, educational leadership is about going into a classroom and being competent in your subject matter, ready for any question that a student might ask you or, you know, put online, that you can help guide them to another question or more information. For me, I have a story. One of my students, it was the first week, because they'd actually kept me on teaching after the first night, and I thought I was fired. My dean called me into his office the next day, and I thought I was going to be told I was fired. It was the worst job teaching that I did. But they kept me on, and one of my students asked me the almost exact same question about what it means to be a leader. And I gave him a big old long story, but I summed it up with just be who you are. If you're a teacher, teach them. Don't just use the book and say, here, read this. Teach them values and norms and about life. And that, to me, is leadership.
I have been looking forward to this conversation all week because you are an amazing person to talk to, and your perspective is so important. And so let's really, really talk about your perspective. Do you have a teaching philosophy? Do you have a pedagogy that you really teach from?
My philosophy is I just go by collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you with a student, with another colleague, we're going to work together. We're going to work together to get to that answer we're looking for. It's an outcome we're looking for. I don't just go into my classroom and be a transactional leader. I want to be that transformational leader. I want to be that transformational leader. Or if you can use material that I taught you next class or a week from now or a year from now or 10 years from now, then I've done my job. I've done my job to teach you something that you didn't know come into the class. So that's where what I really draw from is that philosophy, if you want to say it's philosophy, but that's what I use in my classes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see as a result of that particular and wonderful philosophy? How do you see it in manifesting in the lives of the students that you teach?
I usually get an email or a text or a phone call at least once a week from a former class student of mine, telling me that, hey, Mr. Barry, I was able to use this material in this situation.
Yeah.
I was able to use it. And I used a little joke. And I said before, if they can use it somewhere else, then I've done my job. I always use the joke, if you can use it at Walmart, somewhere at Walmart, then I've done my job. So I had one person, a student of mine a couple years ago, said, I actually used this at Walmart, Mr. Barry, and I appreciate what you taught. And they were serious. I've never had anybody use any information of mine at Walmart before.
Wow. Well, you know, that is amazing because that's the impact. I think every person who has had the benefit of education in their lives can name a teacher or some other educational staff member that has had an impact on their life. You know, we remember our good teachers, we remember our good staff people, and we're so thankful for them. And so, yikes, there's just, you know, there's so much going on in the field of academia and education right now, and it's sort of swirling all around teachers, and they're having to adjust and adapt, and, you know, what's going on with teachers right now?
Well, I can't speak for other teachers. I can only speak from my experiences.
Okay.
And what I am doing right now is adding more cultural aspects to the class, especially the Indian education part of it, because that's what I know. I'm Indigenous by tribe, and my mindset is being indigenized. So last week, I spent the better part of last week at a teachers institute in Virginia. And it was at Colonial Williamsburg, and I got exposed to a lot of the nuances of what life was during that time.
Yeah.
Well, I was able to make a trip over to the University of William & Mary to visit the Brafferton House, which is an Indian college back in 1723.
Yeah.
And so I've taken that. I'm going to use that into my curriculum and teach them about Indian education pre-boarding school, because we all know about the boarding schools during the 1800s, but I did not know there was Indian colleges in operation in the 1700s or 1600s. And that's what I'm going to use as far as my curriculum.
I'm really excited about your viewpoint about that, because, you know, in academia, there's been a big debate between the colonized and indigenized. And I've always leaned a little bit more toward indigenizing, you know, like, let's make this reading of medieval literature have to do with us. And I think that what you're doing is a very brave thing, but I think it's something we can all do, right? I mean, how do we all go about indigenizing our education, our teaching, our learning?
You have to find the right niche. And for me, I use the Transformational Indigenous Praxis Model, as by Dr. Cornell P.B. Wardy, that shows you how to decolonize your instruction in your mind step by step. There's four steps there, what he uses. And so I'm on step one or two, because I have to decolonize my instruction first before I can have my students understand what I am, the material is about. So that's what I use, is the TIPM for short, the Transformational Indigenous Praxis Model. And it's guided me for about 5 to 6 years now, and I still use it. And I actually have colleagues that are using it and their instruction to help them decolonize the material.
How exciting. Can you give us an example of that, a practical example of how you've done that or used that?
Yes. So for me, one of the first steps is I use the book. I teach the students using the book. Then I bring in cultural speakers. I bring in tribal speakers. I bring in material that is touched upon in the book, but I'm going to expand on it and expand their thinking in the classroom and their discussions and responses online.
How wonderful. We have a complicated relationship with mainstream dominant culture education as Indigenous people. You know, you mentioned the boarding schools. There were other colleges, the normal schools, they call them down south. There are all kinds of things that we can point to where, education has just been a really challenging thing. And so we see people who perhaps mistrust or even resist mainstream education. And then we see people who embrace it and maybe even assimilate. So what kind of relationship can we have as tribal people with education?
Well, it's leaning towards the more positive, because right now we do exert our educational sovereignty with our tribal colleges and universities.
Yes.
We're having more of those pop up in operation each year. And I've actually been working with a few tribal colleges to kind of indigenize the curriculum, help with that. I'm also helping colleagues in the mainstream universities decolonize the curriculum too. So by exerting that sovereignty, we're leaning more to that positive relationship with mainstream academia.
And so what does that look like, that positive relationship between tribal people and academia? What's the goal of that?
It's, to me, it's to have more cultural components on campus. I know more and more universities are having Indigenous Day celebrations, and that's what I'm working on right now at Kansas State, is next year's Indigenous Day celebration. So it's getting that awareness, that cognizance out there that, hey, our culture's here. I know it seems like we've been invisible for 400, 500 years, but now we're becoming more visible.
So important. Okay, so what's your dream for the future of education? I mean, you're pursuing this amazing degree, and you're learning, and you're teaching, and you're growing, and you're helping others to grow. What's your goal for all of this?
My goal is to have more representation on campus as far as faculty, students, staff, as far as Indigenous personnel. That would be my goal, not just in tribal colleges where it's maybe 98% Indigenous, but for mainstream universities to have, you know, more than five faculty. I want to see about 45 to 50 faculty mm-hmm. of Indigenous personnel, staff, in other places, just not three to four.
Absolutely. What a wonderful vision that is. Years ago, my Aunt Nita said to me that she thought the greatest enemy of Indigenous faculty, Indigenous teachers, was heartbreak and burnout.
Yes.
How do we avoid those?
How do we avoid burnout? That's a good question, Dawn. My suggestion is to make sure that we're working together, mm-hmm. you know, not isolating ourselves in that so-called ivory tower of education or academia, is make sure that we, you know, are collaborating on projects such as Indigenous Day, having the support from administration. That's what I would love to have. That's what I have in my positions right now, is that support. And I know a lot of my colleagues don't have that support.
Right.
So that would go a long way as far as retention and staying in that educational field.
I think that's so important, too, because in the present day, you know, so many places, someone is the only or just one, right? They're the, oh, that's our Native Studies professor over there, you know, and it's just one guy. And so we do have to have community and collaboration. I love what you're saying because that already comes to us. We already think collaboratively as a group, and that's even a strength we can bring perhaps to other faculty from other cultures. When you think about your legacy in education, what do you want it to be? When they reminisce about you, what do you want us to say?
I've actually never thought about that.
Yay!
I've never done anything to get praise for somebody to brag about me. But my legacy would be just that Mr. Berry or Kelly Berry was an effective teacher, an effective practitioner in the classroom. He taught us more than what the class syllabus asked for. And that would be my legacy.
That's a good legacy. When you have to describe yourself and what you do, what's your title?
My title and what I do is just, I'll just go with the simple answer. It's Kelly Berry. Hmm. He's going to be truthful. He's going to be effective. And he's going to make sure that his relationship and communication with the students are top-notch and make sure that no students feel marginalized in the classroom and make sure they are not in that space where they don't feel welcomed.
Hmm. Yes, we need many more teachers who think that exact same way. Well, one of the things I hope that this conversation will do for our friends who are listening is that maybe there's someone out there who's thinking about teaching. You know, they're heading to college or maybe a career change or, you know, maybe in retirement they now want to come back and do something different. What advice or wisdom do you have for people who are just starting out into the educational field?
I know people always say that teachers don't make a lot of money, mm-hmm. and I know people say it's a calling, but one advice I can have for teachers who are just starting out, and I've actually given this advice to three of my mentees, I mentor three teachers right now, is to find what you love in the classroom. Don't imitate me. Yes, I'll give you guidance, I'll give you pointers, but find your own way of teaching, find your own way of reaching these students, and make sure that learning is positive. Mm-hmm. Read, research, introspect, and apply into practice. And that's what I tell the pre-service teachers.
Oh, I love it. How would someone know if maybe teaching is the right field for them?
You enjoy coming to class. You enjoy putting the research in. You know, I have not found myself at any time in my instruction as being burnout or being not satisfied. Once you get to that point, you might start thinking, hey, do I really love teaching? Because you can like teaching, mm-hmm. but for me, I love teaching. And that's what I tell, you know, faculty is, if you love it, that's great. If you like it, there's some questions you might have to ask yourself if I really want to continue this position.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent advice. Thank you. Because that's right. That's absolutely right. And I have never thought of it from that perspective before. And so that makes me think of something else just off the top of my head. But, you know, for those of us who are parents, how can we collaborate or how can we work together with our children's teachers, with our young people's teachers, in order to help their learning experience be the very best it can be?
Well, I've actually taken that same question from another colleague, and what I proceeded with is give the parents a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, you know, maybe there's a different learner style your child learns at, or another avenue that I can proceed to. Make sure that your child understands the material. I know a lot of teachers, I know we have those parent-teacher conferences, and I know we have phone calls, but I'm not sure how much of a voice the parents have. So that's why I make sure the parents talk to me. We set up Zooms, phone calls, to give me more information about learning styles, and then I can work with that. I can tailor my instruction to make sure that child is having the best and positive experience with learning in my classroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you wish you had known at the beginning of this journey that you know now?
I thought that first week of teaching, I thought it was going to be easy. I thought it was just showing up. But what I found out is that there's more reading. There's more learning. There's more techniques to teaching than just standing in front of a group of students and talking. Sometimes those are effective and sometimes they're not. So I'm always learning. I'm always teaching myself that there's new techniques out there that I can use to enhance student learning.
That's amazing. But, I mean, I hear this passion and this call that you have, and I'm so excited for everyone that you'll impact and that you'll influence. What else are you passionate about?
Outside of teaching? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I always tell my students, and they don't believe this, is that when I leave the classroom or I leave the office, I go home and play video games. That's my way of relaxing.
Yeah.
My way of just getting away from my work for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then after that I'll come back to it. But that's Kelly time right there, is what I like to call it, is just let me relax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the balance in your life and in your perspective as well. Is there a way that you are actually able to balance teaching and school and research with the rest of your life that you can share with us? It might help someone else.
Sure. So I've been doing those components for about, you know, 10 years now, going to mm-hmm. school, teaching, research. The best advice I can give is what my mentors gave me, is carve out an hour or two for each component. I wake up at 6:30 a.m. and that's when I do my schoolwork, and I work on that till about 8:30, and then I'll move on to something else, research for about 2 hours. So I spend about 2 hours each day on each section, and that's what helps me pass the time. It's what helps me, you know, in my organization, is finding those times to do that. And I've done that. Before this, I was unorganized. I was trying to do 10 things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started carving out times of the day, it really helped me in my organization.
You're so inspiring. I mean, I really am loving this conversation, and I'm so glad we're having it. And when we come back from break, I want to actually ask you to speak directly from your heart to our teachers and then to our students, because you have some wisdom that I really want them to hear. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's gonna freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Hi everyone, Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health. When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
And save her. Let her really take it on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgets.
What a delightful conversation we're having today, all about educational leadership. And our guest today is truly transformational leadership right before our very eyes. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, Kelly Berry. I'm a second-year doctoral student at Kansas State University in educational leadership.
I'm so glad you're here, and I appreciate you joining us today. I would be so honored if I can just hand you the mic for just a moment or two, and you would share from your heart and encourage our teachers. Would you do that, please?
Sure. The best advice that I can ever give a teacher is to add that cultural component to your classroom. I know a lot of teachers and some teachers are hesitant. I know some teachers are unfamiliar with that process, but not all classrooms are made up of, you know, one ethnicity. You might have 5 to 10 different cultures in your classroom. So make sure that you allow the opportunity for those students to feel welcome. And as I said before, not feel marginalized. So if it takes more research, more time, more reading to find those cultural components to add, please do that and take care of all the students. I know we always say we take care of students. Make sure you really take care of all the students as far as culturally in your classroom.
That's profound, and I appreciate it. And now, with your benefit of your perspective, could you speak directly to our students right now and give them some encouragement?
For students, I would advise just ask questions. If you don't understand a material, ask questions. I know a lot of us are shy. I know a lot of us are quiet. But when you ask questions, you're able to get more information. You're able to understand the information material better. So I know the first day of class, everybody sits there quietly and not say anything. Introduce yourself. Take the initiative. You know, teachers love when we interact. I know students love when we interact. So make sure that your voice is heard and make sure that your presence is known in the classroom.
Oh, more excellent wisdom. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. As you journey through grad school and as you're journeying through your wonderful leadership in education, have you noticed anything that makes a curriculum or a book especially useful these days?
I observed about 2 curriculums last week, and what I found profound about those curriculums was the critical thinking process about it, the questions they were asking me. And I'm, yes, a doctoral student, but the curriculum that I saw from one of my colleagues had me asking questions, you know, asking those intellectual questions that students should be asking in the classrooms. So it's the way you frame your information, the way you frame your curriculum, is that it has to open the door for critical thinking, critical knowledge, and allow for students to proceed down those paths.
So how do we encourage critical thinking in our students? How do we encourage critical thinking in ourselves, especially when we have so many voices on the media and so many things happening all around us? How do we hone those critical thinking skills?
For me, it's about just asking the questions that are not being asked.
Mm-hmm.
Asking those questions that go beyond the material or the textbook and owning those questions. If I have a question that's not in the textbook, I'll ask it, and then hopefully the answer will be there or it'll help me guide in, you know, asking another question. But we just have to make sure those questions that we ask are relevant and make sure those questions are open-ended, not just yes or no questions. And that's how I proceed with my critical thinking questions in my classroom is I don't want a yes or no question. I don't want you to regurgitate the information from the book or from my lecture. I want you to formulate your own question and responses that you've been thinking about for the past week.
I'm really excited to hear you say that because what does good critical thinking, when we develop good critical thinking, what does that do for our lives?
It allows us to understand the world or society more. It allows us to understand the material in a more effective manner. If I ask a critical question in my classroom, I want all the students to start formulating a question on their own to ask to me instead of just one or two students asking me the questions. I want everybody to think about material and ask me a question that they've thought of that's not in the material. That's where I see good critical thinking and good critical thinking mm-hmm. questions is ask your own question. Don't mm-hmm. ask a question someone else asked. Ask your own question.
Wow. And when we ask our own questions, when we start asking questions in the classroom. Then we start asking them in society as well. And what happens when we start asking our own questions in more areas of our lives?
You get those, I'll say good. You get those good or great conversations started, you know, about issues that are in the media, about issues that are sensitive. But you get the ball rolling, and then you might have change. You might exhibit change or affect change in a positive way. Maybe not at first. It might be, you know, sometimes negative, but you get change in motion.
Yeah. So are change and motion part of the purpose of a good education?
It's not part of the purpose, but it's an effect of it. You know, my purpose in the classroom is get students thinking. But if change in motion happens, then that, to me, is a positive outcome. But my purpose is to get you thinking.
I am really moved by your philosophy because I see transformational leadership in it. And I want to talk about that a little bit. So when we say transformational leadership, what does that mean to you?
Transformational leadership, in my mind, is providing that outlet for students, providing that avenue to proceed for change, for motion. I'll be at the starting block with you, and I'll provide the outlets and the avenues and the lanes, but you decide which way you want to go. I'll give you the information, I'll give you the support, the guidance, but you take the initiative where you want to go, and I'll help you with that.
That's amazing. That really is. What do you want us to know about you and what you do that we don't already know?
And if you meet me in person, I'm quiet. You know, I'm laid back. And I'm always taking the information first. And then I'll formulate an opinion or response. So that's what I want people to know, is that I may be quiet at first. Then I'm going to ask questions. You know, a lot of people say that, well, Kelly, he's always quiet. He doesn't say anything. Let me take my time to gather information, and then we'll have a conversation.
That's very powerful. Do you find that to be a powerful position?
I do, for me. Mm-hmm. I do. It's the way I operate. It's the way that I get things done. I can't speak for anybody else the way they process information. But for me, it gives me time to formulate that, as you say, power, formulate that question or that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start down the road of having that critical thinking conversation.
What is the best question or the most impactful question that anybody has ever asked you?
It was when I graduated from graduate school with my master's, one of my mentors asked me, what do you want to do now? Mm. And that's where I was in that space where I didn't have any clue, but he started having me thinking about my future. You know, teaching wasn't in my mirror. It wasn't anywhere, even in my thought process until that one day in the college, but it was the most powerful thing was, what do you want to do now? You got your education, but what are you going to do with it?
What's the best question or the question that you're most glad that you ever asked anybody else?
So as an instructor, I've asked this numerous times, is how are you going to implement this information to the classroom? Mm-hmm. You know, all these workshops I've been on, all these trainings I've been on, we've all received information to put back in our classrooms. How are you going to put it into your classroom? How are you going to implement it into the classroom? And how are students going to benefit?
And as a result of asking that question, what happens?
At first, it was blank stares.
Okay.
It was a blank stare that I took as, Kelly, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's more or less, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this avenue proceed. But I still do get the blank stares about, what are you talking about? Because as teachers, like I said, we know the outcome, but have we ever asked ourselves, how do we use it? And that's why I asked that question. But yeah, that's the majority of the time I get that stare.
Well, they're going to use their critical thinking. Just give them a minute. it'll be okay. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Probably the best advice is, you do you. You do you, Kelly. Mm. Don't imitate nobody. Don't mirror nobody. You do you. And whether it be in the classroom or in life, you do you.
Yeah, you know, these conversations are organic. You know, we have a chance to have beautiful, wonderful souls on with us and just talk, just visit, you know, like what comes to our heart and what comes to our minds. And I am so much blessed by what you're sharing with us today. And I want to make sure that if there's anything that you want to share about or you want to make sure we talk about, that we do that. If there's something else on your heart, we'd love to hear it.
I love taking your questions. You know, you've brought out so much information that I haven't really discussed lately, but I enjoy your questions, and you pretty much have brought out what I wanted to talk about. You know, I've talked about who I am, my philosophy, my research. You're doing a great job, Dawn.
Oh, well, thank you. How sweet. Thank you. Well, what I would like to talk about with you is your actual Native American culture and environment and involvement in all of that, because I think that's important as part of being transparent, but also representation matters. And I think when someone's listening and they're thinking about you as a whole person, who you are is very, very important. So I don't want to push you or press you, but if there's something about your culture and your heritage that you'd like to share, I would love to hear it.
Sure. I do, you know, incorporate my culture into the classroom, especially the Kiowa and Apaches. And whenever I say Apache, most people think that you're Apache from Arizona or New Mexico. Mm. Actually, my Apache band is the Lipan, L-I-P-A-N, and it's more of a Texas located band. So that's what I kind of, you know, is implement is I'm researching my actual Apache because it's not one of the most well-known ones. So that's where I kind of would like to, you know, share with the audience is that there are different Apache bands, but mine is more of a Texas base. So that's where I kind of want to, and I am involved in, you know, ceremonies, you know, and I do try to incorporate because I teach at a, or used to teach at a boarding school. We have tribes from different tribes across America, across the United States. Mm-hmm. And so I try to incorporate cultural relevant teachings to benefit all the tribes, not just one, because it's hard to say I'm going to benefit this tribe, but you have 39 other tribes that are different cultures within the culture. I hope that makes sense.
It does. It absolutely does, because if you're earlier sharing about your, you know, how we're here to serve every member of this classroom or educational community. And I love that. I love the inclusion in what you do. You know, that everyone feels welcome.
May I add this?
Please.
So I was last week at a teacher that Teachers Institute in Virginia, there was a tribal citizen from Eastern Tribe. And we started talking and I was naming off things about his tribe, and he was just looking at me, and it looked like he was asking, he wanted to ask me, how do you know that?
Yeah.
I make it my priority to learn about different tribes. That way I can bring into the classroom and talk about those tribes. I'm not just, you know, limited to four or five tribes. I know something about all, if you want to say 574 federally recognized tribes plus the state tribes. I know something about them because of my research, and it helps in my teachings.
Yes. Yes. I wonder if that's one of our real core tribal values is hospitality. And that's something that I keep, that keeps coming to my heart as I listen to you, that your classroom is hospitable, that you are welcoming to other students and learners and teachers and colleagues. And I think that kind of inclusion that you're showing, you know, a genuine interest in other tribes and nations and cultures and people and ethnicities, that is such a gift. Because so often students walk into classrooms where assimilation is the goal, or just everybody's going to look the same, act the same, be the same, and no trouble for the teacher. And I feel that you're actually extending an invitation, you know, come as you are and learn and grow collaboratively. And I think that's beautiful. It's beyond beautiful, actually.
Well, that's my style of instruction. Yeah, I want to be inclusive to everyone. I know what my limitations are, and I know what my shortcomings are, but I'm going to work on those. And that's one of the things I wanted to work on, was make sure that I know something about every student in my classroom to make them feel comfortable, make them feel, you know, okay that they're in the classroom and they're going to learn. I feel that students learn better, more effective, if you have that positive relationship with them. And that's why I've taken the time to research tribes and know my students to make not only make student learning better, but my instructorship more effective.
Oh, I can see that. I mean, it reflects in everything that you're saying and doing as well. And I wanted to touch on something that I hope you can help us with this, but there's been a lot of disruption to learning for young people, you know, COVID pandemic, school shootings. There have been a lot of really chaotic and mayhemic events that have disrupted sort of a linear path to just go to school, learn something, come home, get up and do it again. And so how can we help our students and our young people, you know, who are coming back to school or in school and trying to navigate lots of big life things? What can we do to help those young people?
For me, it's all about the instructor. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how to, you know, effectively be a classroom instructor face-to-face, but COVID changed things up.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was already knowledgeable at how to teach virtually.
Okay.
I was doing it in college. And so my advice to teachers is to learn both mechanisms. Learn all the ways you can effectively teach a student, because you never know if this one way of teaching is going to enhance student learning. If my digital instruction can help 5 to 6 students in my class, that's great. Because we all know students don't learn the same way.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I always say, expand your tradecraft wisdom. Learn as many techniques as you can. Some may not work. That's fine. But try it. Experiment. Because you never know what's going to work for this student or these students.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I always like to talk to you. And I'm so glad I got a chance to do it here on this show today. I hope that if there are people who are looking for an expert, a speaker maybe, an article, a journal, author, is there some way that they can connect with you and bring some more of your wisdom into the discussion, into the conversation?
Yes, I can provide you with my email, and I'm always willing to collaborate or help out other colleagues in different ways. If it's instruction, let me know. If it's something else culturally, let me know. But I'm always willing to take the time to assist people.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, if you'll provide that email, there may be someone right out there that needs that collaborative moment with you.
Sure. It's kdberry, B-E-R-R-Y, at ksu.edu.
Perfect. I just can't wait to see the great things that you do and how you transform lives and classrooms even more. You've been doing amazing things for a while, and now you're going to do even more. And I truly believe you're going to do many great things, and you're going to succeed in them all. And so I I thank you. I just thank you for having this conversation with me today.
Well, I want to say thank you for inviting me. You shared a lot, and I was able to share a lot, too. So if there's any other next time or any other time we can visit again, I would love to come back in your show and discuss more about education or cultural or anything going on in society.
How wonderful. Well, I'm going to look forward to that, and I know that our friends who listen are, too. And I want to thank everyone who listens to this show. I know you could be doing something else. There's lots of things you could be doing, but that you take the time and give it as a gift to listen to these conversations means the world to me. I thank our sponsors and our donors, and that means thank you, Mr. Barry, as well. And I thank this network for giving us a place to do this and to have these great conversations. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm really looking forward to the next time we're all together again. Until then, see you then.
From the mouth, we eat his goodness. The love we breathe is fulfillment. The cup we drink is forgiveness. The tongue we speak, hopefulness.
I really don't want to see the trail of the tears and the blood of the fear. You come and you feel that. As long as I'm breathing, I'm seeing the evil all around, all along, yeah, long. Tears with too much faith, fear.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.